Joe Biden and Paul Ryan face off in a spirited vice presidential debate. New calls today for the board members of FSCJ to step down. And a deadly stabbing at the Jacksonville Landing brings the city some unwanted publicity. Some of the stories making news this week. Good Friday morning to you live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, but first, it's Friday. Here today, we welcome our Rockin' Media Roundtable Week in Review. John Burr is here, editor of the Jacksonville Business Journal. Good to see you.
Great to be here.
Fred Matthews, who blogs at The Examiner, joins the show once again.
Good morning, Melissa.
And Christopher Brooks, reporter for the Florida Times Union. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa.
And we begin with reactions to last night's one and only debate between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan. The VP matchup featured aggressive and spirited sparring over the economy, taxes, foreign policy, and Medicare. Vice President Biden this morning being seen as aggressively defending the administration's record in a way that President Obama failed to do during his widely panned matchup with Mitt Romney. But for his part, Paul Ryan gave plenty of return fire, attacking the White House on everything from the deficit to the situation in Benghazi.
It was a good debate. It was fun in many cases. The facts got twisted as they normally do, or omitted as they normally do.
Both candidates accused of playing fast and loose with the truth. Mm-hmm. Chris Brooks.
Yep. That's true. And, you know, I think from a media and the politician that was watching standpoint, let me first say that I think everyone was really better pleased with the moderator that we got this time, you know, from before. But, you know, I think when you're trying to make the point for your party, there's a lot of stats that you fail to give or hold off on giving in order to make your point, and that was definitely prevalent yesterday.
So interesting perspectives coming in on email too. Lots of calls on the debate, but we do have to move on and discuss the other news of the week. Also making headlines on the First Coast today, there is new pressure on the board members of the Florida State College at Jacksonville to step down. Today's Times Union editorializes that the clueless eight, as they're referred to, should leave now after giving ex-college president Steve Wallace a $1.2 million severance package. Now, Governor Scott has called for an inspector general's review of all contracts and spending at FSCJ, and it goes farther than that. The governor wants a thorough look at the contracts of all state college presidents after revelations that Wallace spent many, many thousands of taxpayer money on meals, dining, travel, and more, and also presided over the mishandling of student Pell Grants, among other things. So as we move ahead with the roundtable, do you agree with the TU? Should the board members of FSCJ resign? It's 549-2937. Christopher Brooks, a very tough editorial in today's Times Union.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I think part of the reason why my newspaper wrote something like that is the next step at FSCJ, if you think about it, is not to find an interim for Wallace. It's to find the actual next president that'll lead the college to the future. And perhaps that task is done a lot better when you have a whole new board with a whole new perspective, you know what I'm saying? And that's the same way I think FSCJ can go forward and start to repair some of the negative headlines and the negative things that's happened to students over these last couple of months. Fresh board, fresh president, let's repair all these things and get this college focused on back to what it's supposed to be doing, which is educating students and helping the local economy.
Right.
But this board, by virtue of giving this contract, has pretty much set themselves up to be asked to leave graciously or to simply be put out by the governor.
I totally agree with that, because if you look into the fact that they'll have to pay him that amount of money over those years, and then whatever money that they pay to their interim president, and then whatever money is going to cost to search and find a new long-term president, that's just money at this stage I think the college can't afford.
They might have concluded it was cheaper to do it this way than to unceremoniously fire Dr. Wallace and maybe be sued. And we have to move on. Finally, Jacksonville got some unwanted publicity this week after a Chicago area man was killed Sunday at the Jacksonville Landing. 42-year-old Chris Petrie was fatally stabbed inside Finn McCool's after coming to town to watch the Jaguars-Bears game.
It just adds to that ethos of downtown not being safe.
It adds to that perception, which isn't even really the reality, Chris, but for people that live in the suburbs and read about this stabbing at the Landing, it just feeds into their already existing perception that it's not a safe place to hang out.
And it feeds into the perception of the people from the north. I mean, let's remember that, you know, there's more upcoming Jaguar games from just later on this season that people up north will want to come down to. If you look at their schedule, they got, you know, the Jets coming down here. They got New England coming down here. Even my hometown, Detroit Lions, are coming down here. And, you know, that got up to the Chicago Tribune, the stabbing thing. And you don't think people from the north are like, wait a minute, maybe we should think back to when we have to go down to these Jaguar games. And, you know, it just doesn't speak well for the city.
Well, it's been a very busy news week, so thanks so much to our media panel for breaking down all the biggest stories of the week for us. Fred Matthews, Christopher Brooks, and John Burr. Guys, thanks for being here today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9.